Isaiah, Joel, and Jeremiah. We're going to read those actually at the beginning, so if you want to go ahead and be turning there. Now, I don't know how long. It won't be very long, I don't think, just a few weeks, but the Lord has laid on my heart a few messages, a series, if you will, but just a few messages that have to do with restoration, what God's Word has to say about restoration. And so I just ask that the Lord would lead me in it, and you'd pray for me as I bring these each week. Today is sort of an introduction, and it's called Shattered to be Restored. Shattered to be restored. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 22, beginning there. Verse 22, but this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are prey, and no one delivers for plunder, and no one says, restore. I want you to remember that line. He describes them, and then he says, and no one says, restore. Remember those words and turn with me to Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. God gives many promises in his word concerning restoration. Joel chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, this is the line I want you to remember here. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And then if you will turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, God takes Jeremiah down to a potter's house, and he shows him in an illustration what he wants to speak to the nation. But what he speaks to the nation applies also to individuals. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Underline that. Was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel. He made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So the Lord gives us three words this morning, and he is going to give us three principles to begin with this morning. There is so much, when I begin to think about this word, there's so much destruction around us, and there's so much restoration that's needed. It's amazing. God is such a God of restoration. It's amazing how many times Christians walk with lives that are really just destroyed, wrecked, shattered by the enemy of their soul, when God is a God of restoration. All the way from beginning to end in the Word of God, we find him as a God of restoration. We find him taking lives that are broken and restoring them. This next few weeks are words of hope. Words of hope. And whether you are here with us this morning or you are watching by live stream, there will be something for everyone in this, because we are all people who have needed restoration by the hand of the Lord, by the great potter. And so we look around and we see that nations are shattered. And our nation is shattered and needs restoration. Churches are shattered. Many churches, the state of the church in the world, if you will, in many places, is shattered. The enemy has done a very destructive work through compromise and through mixture and through deception and through turning away from the Word of God. There has been a great destruction in the house of God. Family in America is in a state of being shattered. If you look at what's happened with the family in America, families are rarely whole anymore. It's a rarity to find a family that is whole, and especially whole as being spoken of in the Word of God, the kind of wholeness that the Lord gives. Children are shattered. I remember some years ago as the Lord began to show me, and I brought a word where the Lord was showing me how Satan has a contract on childhood in this time, this season that we're living in, the time that began probably 20 years ago or even longer, but it came to a real head a few years back because innocence is being removed earlier and earlier and earlier in children's lives. The innocence is stolen. And therefore, when the innocence is stolen, the hardness that comes into our hearts, you know, as we grow older and as sin enters our life, that's when hardness enters our life. Children who walk in a level of innocence in their youth are very tender, are supposed to be, are very tender and very open and trusting in all of these things. There's a, even though we're born with the sin nature, it's not controlled them yet to the degree that it's brought hardness into their hearts as a general rule. And so, especially in a nation like America, where children were given the Word of God, even from a very young age in most places, they were being trained in some things of the Lord. So there was an innocence that was protected and it was preserved. And now due to, especially to the media and entertainment and to the availability of television and phones, children are, the innocence has been stolen even at a very, very young age. And so hardness comes in at an earlier age. It's a lot harder than to break that ground and to bring them to the Lord when they have had their innocence stolen. Jesus said that in order for us to be born again, we have to come as children, didn't he? That means we have to come with that simple, trusting, childlike faith. Well, if that kind of innocence and that kind of trust is robbed from children at a young age, how much harder is it for them to come the only way that you can come as a child? And so there's been a great destructive work done in the life of children by the enemy of our soul. And there is a great need for restoration in all of these cases, all of these things. So I want to give you three principles first that the Lord was showing me in these verses. The first one comes from the verse in Joel, and I ask you to remember this line. God says, "My great army, which I have sent among you." Speaking of the locusts that brought destruction. My great army. They were an enemy army. They're enemies of Israel that were raised up by the hand of God. But they were enemies. They were heathen. They were pagans. They were not worshipers of Jehovah, and they were enemies of God Himself. And yet, God will use another nation as a means of correction against His own people. He said, "It's my great army which I have sent among you." So here's the principle. Number one, even when our lives are being shattered by the enemy, even when it's the enemy of our soul or even our own sin, God will use the work of the enemy for good in our lives. That does not mean that it was ever His perfect will that you went into sin or ever His perfect will that you were you had an area of destruction. You were shattered by the enemy. But nevertheless, everything falls under the sovereign hand of God. I want you to think about your own life because all of this is going to come into play. Everything falls under the sovereign hand of God. God knows, and there is nothing that happens that is beyond His control. And God will use these things. He will use those locusts as His own army in order to bring about correction, in order that He would bring Israel back into a place of restoration. God will do the same thing in our lives. Now, under this number one, I'm going to give you three or four more things. Under number one, that God will use even those things for our good. Sometimes you will experience or you have experienced a direct attack from Satan because of Christ in you. Not because you were walking in evil, not because you were in rebellion. Sometimes you experience the attacks of Satan against you because Christ is living and reigning in your life. So Satan hates that, and he will come against you. He wants to persecute you. He wants to destroy God's work within you. Sometimes there are indirect, what I call indirect attacks. You invited the attack because of not having walked in the fullness of Christ. You're a believer, but you neglected the life of Christ within you, and so you open the door to attacks from the enemy. Our God is a legal God, and if we open doors, if we do things that violate His word, then we give Satan a legal access into certain areas of our life. And so sometimes the enemy attacks are because you're walking in holiness. Sometimes the enemy attacks are because you're not, and you've allowed him to come. Either way, you're still a child of God, and he's trying to destroy you. Sometimes the perfect will of God, not because you're walking in great fullness and not because you're walking in rebellion. Sometimes it is simply the perfect will of God to take you into a new season in your life of growth. And the only way he's going to be able to get you to grow is by allowing a time of adversity in your life, because you're going to grow. Your greatest growth, and I'm speaking from experience, your greatest growth comes from times of adversity. Not from times of blessing, not from times of abundance. Your greatest growth in the Lord comes from times of adversity. David said, until I was afflicted, my feet went astray. Lord, until I was afflicted, my feet went astray. And then he goes on and explains, but Lord, you brought this into my life, and now I follow your ways. So there are times that God will correct. There's sometimes he will move you into a new area of growth, many different things. And lastly, sometimes it's just because you live in a fallen world, and other people's sin or the attacks of the enemy on other people spill over into your lives. You see this in family life very often. Many times it's parents who are seeking to live a godly life and raise their children to walk in the ways of the Lord, but because of rebelliousness perhaps in those young people, then it brings suffering and sorrow into the life of the family. And there are many other aspects of that we could go into. And it's not because you did something so right or so wrong. It is because you're following the Lord. But still, it's because you live in a fallen world and you're surrounded by evil. You're surrounded by things that are bringing attacks. So, all of that is under this first principle, God's great army. God is the source of these things, even if it comes from the hand of the enemy. Even if it comes from the hand of the enemy. I remember a time in my life that I was so shocked. I was so shocked to discover that it was God's hand. A time in my life when I went through the worst attack and the worst suffering and just the most difficult time of just being shattered, absolutely shattered. And I will touch on that again in a moment. And I was just crying out to the Lord to deliver me. It was all the enemy, and it was all other people, and it was all the hand of the enemy. It was all evil. Nothing in it was good, only to find that God revealed to me that it was His hand. It was His hand allowing it all, because there were things that He had to, listen to me, shatter in me in order that I could be restored. And so why would He shatter you just to restore you? Well, the second principle will help you with this. You are not restored to some former image, and I'll explain this, but you're not restored to some former image, but to God's image and plan for you. So listen closely. Let me say it again for those who are writing it down. You were not restored to some former image, but to God's image and plan for you. In other words, If we go down, many times we may go to, you may go to Goodwill or to some thrift store, and you may find, perhaps you find a vase, and it's just been covered with dirt. It's just been in the mud or whatever, and it doesn't look good, but you can see that there was something good in it. And so you take it home, and you clean it up, you restore it to its pristine condition, to what it once was. That's not what God does. That's not what God does. Because our first condition was never as good as what God's going to do with us. So God restores us not to our first image or to any previous image, but to His plan, what He envisions for us. And we saw this in the work of the potter and the vessel. And I will come back to that in a second. But if we were in Cuba some years ago. It was when Maggie and I were in Cuba. And in Cuba, you know, you're there to do the work of the Lord, but there are some pleasant things that happen. You get to enjoy some things about the trip. And one of the most wonderful things to me is the Cuban taxis. You've all heard of the Cuban taxis because in the 50s when the embargo was put in place and they could not get our cars anymore and haven't until today, they still had all of these old like 56 Chevys and things like that that they had to keep running. They had to keep them running. And so they are a very ingenious people and a very innovative people. And so over the years, they have adapted parts from other parts of the world. They've adapted Russian engine parts to work in our cars. And so you go there today and it's primarily the taxi service because the average Cuban can't afford a car. And so, but the taxi drivers, the private taxi drivers, they drive these old American cars that are restored and they're painted in bright tropical colors. It's like ice cream colors going down the road. And most of them have been patched. They've been patched up over and over and over again, but they're painted bright colors. But they're patched up and they run, most of them have been converted to diesel. And so you're sitting in some old American car that sounds like a diesel truck. And it's fun. You're riding without any air condition in horrible heat, but the windows are down. And many times it's a convertible and the top's down. And so it's just a great experience to ride in a Cuban taxi. But every now and then, as was the case when Maggie and I went, you find someone who has made enough money to restore their car. And we rode in one that had been recently restored to mint condition. It had looked like brand new vinyl seats, brand new chrome, and the paint job was professional looking. It was a beautifully restored car. And inside, however, because when someone takes something that old and restores it, if they can improve it and make it better, they will. And so this cab driver, he had a modern digital stereo system in the dash with a video screen, and he would use USB sticks and pop them in, and he had the equivalent of MTV or something like that playing on his video screen while he's driving down the road, and none of them had air conditioning before. This one had an air conditioning installed in the roof. So he didn't just restore this to its previous glory. He made it better than it had ever been before. God doesn't patch things up. He doesn't patch you up. Restoration is not God patching you up. No. Restoration is not you walking around with wounds that are only half healed. Restoration is not you going through life saying, God restored me, but I have this great, great wound. You may still have scars. Listen closely. You may have scars because scars are not wounds, but scars are the evidence that you had a wound. And He will leave the evidence as a testimony to His glory, but He will not leave that thing there that would cause you detriment and harm if you will allow Him to do the work of healing and restoration in your life. He doesn't patch you up. He transforms you into something better than you ever were or you ever could be apart from His hand. And so Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house and he watches the vessel being formed on the potter's wheel. And the Bible says it was marred. It was marred. Understand this morning. This is very much an image not only of Israel, but the believer. It was marred not because of any failure in the potter. It was not marred because the potter couldn't make a good one the first time. That's not why you're marred either. It's not marred because of any failure of the potter, but the failure of the clay. When a potter makes clay pottery, there are impurities in the clay that have to be removed. And to the best of the ability of the potter, he removes those. Sometimes there are air bubbles in the clay that have to be worked out. And the only way they can be worked out is through pounding upon the wheel before they begin to form. Sometimes, in spite of all of that, in the forming of the wheel, the impurities still are there. They still show up. The air bubbles are still there. And there will be a place that could crack once it's put into the fire in order to do the final work of hardening it. And so it was marred in the hands of the potter because there must have been some impurity in the clay. And it's the same thing again in our lives. But he made it again. He made it again into another vessel. And this goes back to this principle that we're talking about here, number two, that you're not restored to some former image. He did not remake the image the same as it was before. He didn't make the piece of pottery the same as it was before. He remade it into the image that was in the mind of the potter, the plan that he had for the vessel. Every one of us are vessels on the potter's wheel, and every one of us needs repeated applications of restoration. He made it again. That means that wasn't the first time he had had to redo that particular piece of pottery. Everyone needs repeated applications of the work of restoration. God restores us. Then as we walk, there are still things that come up. And God needs to do a further work of restoration in our lives in order to form us into the image in his heart and mind for which he has created us. And sometimes it involves a shattering. That shattering is not to destroy you. It is so that you can be restored, not put back together. I remember as a young boy, my older brother, he would go out in the fields near home after the fields were plowed in the spring, and he would go especially around the edges and the edges of the woods where it was plowed, and he would find very old pieces of broken American Indian or Native American, as we would say today, pottery. Broken pieces of pottery and arrowheads. He had a huge arrowhead collection. But what was amazing is still amazing to me. After all of those years, he would find pieces of pottery and they would have designs inscribed into them, just broken, crumbled pieces. But sometimes, especially in a batch that he found in one area, he would spread them out on a table. He would begin to look, and like a jigsaw, some of the pieces would begin to match up and the designs would fit into place. And I remember him taking glue and putting together those pieces of pottery and almost reconstructing an entire jug, clay jug, that someone had used hundreds of years before. A work of semi-restoration. Because you can still see the cracks. You see the glue. And you can see it wasn't finished. And there were pieces missing. That's not what God does. That's not what God does. He takes you back to the formation stage. He goes back into the clay and starts removing impurities and things that were inflicted by the enemy to keep you from being what he wants you to be. And some of you have been through things as adults. You don't even realize why it was there. What God was doing in your life. Some of the young people in our church, they've been through things that are very, very difficult for young people, and they don't understand that everything has a purpose in this life for the believer. Nothing is to be wasted. Nothing that happens in your life is to be wasted. God uses it in order to work out something special in your life. But you're going to see in a moment, you have to want it. You have to have faith for it. You have to believe for it. You have to let Him show you what it is in order for you to be able to overcome it and not be destroyed by it. But when He allows a shattering, it is so that He can remake you, but not put you back together with glue, but totally transform you and make you into a better image than what you were before. And it's all a foreshadowing of that great day when He comes again. And in one of these messages, we will look at that, because the Bible speaks of the restoration of all things. The earth and the universe are going to be restored because they've been marred. Isn't it an amazing thing that the universe has been marred by the sin of man on one planet? That even the heavenly things had to be cleansed, the Bible says, by the blood of Jesus. That is beyond my comprehension. But God is going to do a work of total, total restoration. Sometimes it's just a new season in your life. It's not the attack of the enemy at all, but sometimes it's a new season in your life. Everything that God has ever, or every time that God has ever led me in a new direction, He's had to shatter the old and give me a restoration for the new. You see, I don't understand that. Have you never started a new venture, whether it was a new job or a new area of ministry, and you realize that while you may have been training in some ways in the past, you have preconceived, you have ideas and things from that previous thing, and it doesn't work in the new thing. It doesn't fit in the new thing. And so God, there's a period there where you're having to be shattered. All of the old ideas are having to be shattered so that you can receive what you have to walk in the new thing. I remember when we moved here years ago from Georgia, and there were things that we did at the church in Georgia that were just, everyone responded to, and it was so wonderful, and God was in it. And I realized real quick after we moved out here, we tried to do a few of those things. It didn't take but one or two to realize that what was, what moved people in one place, or what the Spirit used in one place, was not what He was necessarily going to use in the next place. And so there is a necessity of allowing God to break away old things and to receive the new things that the Spirit of God is giving to you. There are seasons in your life. Some of you may be in a time of a change of season right now. Some of you may be in a time where you have been shattered by the things of the enemy. Sometimes it may just be, as I said, God wants to move you into a deeper walk with Him. And so there are things that have come into your life. It feels like you're being absolutely torn apart, broken, and shattered. But it's not so that you can be left that way, praise God. It's because God wants to rebuild and form and shape a new life, a new season in your life. Every time that I have walked in darkness in some area of my life, whether it was outright sin or whether it was lack of knowledge, an understanding of God's ways, He's had to shatter me so that I would yield to His work of restoration. If you continue in an area that displeases the Lord, you have already invited a shattering from the enemy of your soul. But God has already seen it, and He's already ordained that that shattering would not destroy you. It would destroy that work of sin in your life and the direction you were going, so that you would yield and you would allow Him to do a fresh new work in your life. So we have those two principles so far. The third one is, and it comes from a passage in Isaiah, we need a declaration. I want you to, because this is the invitation. It's what it will be today. We need a declaration. When I said a moment ago, you have to desire it. You have to want it. In Isaiah 42:22, He says, no one says, restore. Everybody's just letting it happen. And it's destroyed Israel. He says, and no one says, it's like God's amazed. No one says, restore. And what God wants from our lips is a cry of faith that cries out and says, Lord, I need restoration. Restore me, Lord. Restore me, Lord. Beloved, there needs to be a declaration in our lives. And the Lord would begin to do this work of restoring. He's been working it in your life, but if you've resisted it, there has to come a time when you embrace it. And it's a declaration based on God's promise. I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. For some of you, there may be something that was just a few months, and now if you will turn to the Lord and if you will ask Him for restoration, that work can begin. But most of the time, we're not watching, we're not looking with spiritual eyes, and we're resisting what God's trying to speak to us, and we just won't even let Him speak to us in a certain area of our life. And so most of the time, we have years in some area of our life where we know that we need to be made whole by the Lord. Instead, we walk in an attitude of walls up and all the time being robbed by the enemy of our soul. This morning is an invitation to let that cry arise in your spirit. When I think of restoration, I think of many things. Or I should say, when I think of shattered lives, I think of many things. Many times it's wounded lives and broken hearts. Wounded lives and broken hearts. That's what I see so much of in the church. It's not always evident at first because people keep those things so hidden, but you can't keep it hidden. You can't keep that hidden. It has an effect on your life. And if you are in relationships with people after a while, those things scream. They scream. You think nobody else sees it, but all the while, it's like your spirit is screaming, help me, help me. It's obvious. I'm wounded. My heart is broken. Sometimes with people that are walking in those kind of situations, there's a cry so deep that they can't even put it into words. It's just a cry on the inside. Wounded lives and broken hearts. And Jesus said, I have come to heal the broken heart. I have come to heal the broken heart. Man, what a great promise from the Lord. If He's come to heal the broken heart, why do we fight so hard against allowing our hearts to be healed? There are so many that are bound by the enemy. You know, the passage that we read in Isaiah said that some were snared in holes. Some were imprisoned. No one said, restore. And I see so many people that are they've been caught in a snare. They have worked themselves into a situation where it's like no matter which way they turn, they've been so bound up for so long and they can't seem to get free. The Lord says He came to set prisoners free. Bound by the enemy, bound by their own flesh nature and a track record that has put them in prison of their own making. I've come to set at liberty the captives, the Lord says. Here's how I see many people respond. Number one, they blame God or they blame others. Beloved, as long as you see it as something that God is doing in order to hurt you, you be hurt. But not by God. By the deception that the enemy has worked in your own mind. Some people blame other people. It's always someone else's fault, which leads me to the second one, a victim mentality. So many people have a victim mentality. It's like They see themselves always as victims. They've been hurt so much, they've been wounded so much that after a while they wear it as a badge. It's like, don't talk to me, don't touch me because I'm a victim. And you need to make allowances for me. And out of that, they become manipulators. Yes. They try to manipulate people with their emotions. Yes. And say, you don't understand. You don't understand what's been done to me. We've all heard it. Third thing I see them do is they turn to man for help. And by that I mean mankind. They turn to flesh, the arm of man, through a number of things. One is pop psychology. Our world is filled with what's called pop psychology. It's just where some form of psychology has filtered down into popular literature or television. People like Oprah and Dr. Phil giving out their philosophical view of what needs to happen in your life. And how many Christians actually watch those things and think, oh, that's what's wrong. That's how I need to fix it. And it doesn't work. Unless it comes from the Spirit of God. Social media. How many people's lives are just absolutely, they're just bound up because of what somebody else thinks on social media, or they adapt to the things, the trends of what people on social media are saying, oh, this is what you need to do if you're a victim, and this is what you need to do, and all of these things, and it's all pride and self-centered, and it never is the plan of the Lord. And then some people just try to walk by their own willpower and just to keep going through life in spite of all of that shatteredness, and all of that brokenness. And you can only do that so long. Some don't acknowledge what's happened at all, and so they bury it. They think that in burying it that it's gone, but they really know in the back of their minds it's not gone. It's controlling them. You know, someone that I loved very much when I was young always said, when there was conflict or pain, don't confront it. Keep peace with everybody. Just sweep it under the rug. Because time heals all wounds. How many of you know that's a lie? Time does not heal wounds. Only the blood of Jesus Christ heals wounds. If you sweep enough things underneath that rug in your life, one day they will come out like a monster ready to devour you. Some people find themselves in such absolute despair and depression that they are at the point of suicide or have committed suicide, all because of this being shattered and broken and not understanding the principle of God, shattered to be restored. Shattered to be restored. God says, I have given you this wonderful promise. I will restore. Amen. I will restore. Amen. If you believe the word of God, you begin to cry out, stand it on faith, not despair. You don't get anything by coming from the ground of despair. That's not God in His mercy sometimes hears a cry of despair, but that's not the way to obtain what you need from God. He says, come in the ground of faith, because only faith pleases God. Despair is not an honor to God. Despair is not faith, and it doesn't obtain from God. You come on the grounds of faith. God, your word says. God, your word says, I will restore you. And Lord, I'm going to keep believing that no matter how long it takes. I expect to be restored. This broken area in my life, I want it to be restored the way that you restore things, not the way the world restores. I don't want it patched up, fixed up. I want it brand new according to your plan and your design. I will restore. So I'm going to ask you this morning, how were you shattered? How were you shattered? You say, which time? Sometimes I think back and I think how destructive Satan was in those times of shattering in my life because I didn't understand this. how destructive it is when you're trying to walk through being broken and you don't understand the promise of God and you don't understand His hand in it. But inevitably, for me, because I belong to the Lord, my eyes were raised to heaven and I acknowledged God's purpose in that shattering. And I remember again what David said. If I had not been afflicted, or before I was afflicted, Lord, my feet went astray. But because you have afflicted me, now I know your ways. You may be thinking, I'm not shattered. I'm not shattered. I don't need this message. That shows your real brokenness. Because pride has a hold. And where pride has a hold, you're shattered and you don't even know it. The invitation this morning is to come to a God who has a greater version of you than you could ever have for yourself. To come to a God, I can't stress this enough. To come to a God who right now knows that the devil is trying to interrupt this message. For those on the live stream, we just had a car alarm go off, that's all. Right now, every message that I bring to you, I sense such an urgency that we understand that what God says is not negotiable. His promises are true, and we either walk by it or we walk away from it. It's not a time that we can keep walking with one foot in and one foot out. It's not a time that we can keep walking on the fence. It's not a time, you know, it's not a time to compromise, because that's how you'll be destroyed even more. It's not a time to pretend that these things haven't happened. It's not a time to just be thinking, oh, life's good and everything's going to work out all right. That's wonderful to have positive thinking, but it's only going to work out all right if God's hand is in it. And He means what He says. I have said this as long as you've known me. If I can't preach anything else, I don't need to preach at all. That God is a supernatural God. If you come to Him in faith, you need to live. If you come to Him to live the Christian life, it's not a ritual. It's not a religion. It is a supernatural life. His promises are true. He still does miracles. He'll still deliver you. He'll still heal you. He'll still restore you. Everything that He promises is yours, but it's yours by faith.
Yes.
It's not yours by sitting in church and by osmosis. You're just going to absorb it. You can't just absorb it and go home and think, oh, it's going to be such a great week. I took in that message. No, you have to stand on the Word of God, believe it. And where you have doubts, you have to cast them down. Ask God to take those away from you. And you have to stand against the enemy of your soul and say, devil, you don't have any right to my life. You have no authority over me. And you have to come to a place where you say, God, I want what you have for me, no matter what it costs. Lord, I want that life that you have promised me. Ultimately, we have eternity with Him. And this is not being man-centered or being self-centered when we say God does have a great life for you. He does have something unique for you. And He does have an overcoming walk for you. He does want to fill you with His Spirit. One of these messages is going to be on the relationship between the Spirit and restoration. The importance of the Holy Spirit in the work of restoration. But we begin with that declaration. I believe the Word of God that says, if I am shattered, I can be made whole. That God says, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. That's His Word to you. It's not long this morning. That's His promise to you. I will restore. He's going to show you in the next few weeks more about it. But I will restore to you what the locusts have eaten. Now, sometimes we think the locust ate something that we want back, and God says, no, I took that because it's not good for you. Amen. God wants to give us everything that is good for us growing to be mature sons and daughters of God, that we might represent Him well until we go home to be with Him. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.